Vinny, episode 371 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by The Sports Train, the finest pure sports talk show on both terrestrial and internet radio. Follow them on the web at thesportstrain.net.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the FDH Lounge Pantheon Redemption. We are going through today. We have purged two categories we're going to be doing in this segment, the first of which is Best Thespian. We are booting Kevin Costner, received 11 purge votes out of 12. The other one is for Best Versatile Actor, Morgan Freeman, receiving 7 purge votes out of 12. A majority, nonetheless, and a welcome majority, if I may editorialize. So we're going to revisit those. First of all, Best Thespian. I mean, the question was put off air. I can't say by who. What is a thespian?
Well, now that
thespian, of course, is an actor or an actress. So we'll all put them out there. And this is very, very difficult. Obviously, the length and breadth of the history of entertainment. But I'm going to go. The way I look at it is Anthony Hopkins. Now, if he's going to recommend somebody, who am I to say that his pick would be wrong? I'm going to use that as my intellectual defense on this one. For an actor who first is broadly known in America for bringing the term anti-dentite into American homes back in the mid to late 90s. Moving on from there to play the husband Hal on Malcolm in the Middle. Moving on subsequently to the iconic role of Walter White, which, by the way, and if anybody was watching the Breaking Bad marathon over the holidays, as you should have been, they ran a lot of commercials on there. I've never seen so many commercials for a Broadway production, not least of which because it's localized, right? What good is it to advertise to anybody outside of New York unless you figure anybody's going to travel there? He is now playing LBJ in a Broadway production. And I will say from the clips shown, a damn convincing job of it. Am I a homeboy, a homer for the show that he is on and everything? Am I a big fanboy? Absolutely. But I feel like I have enough evidence to go with this. It's a recent pick, but I say not a prisoner of the moment pick. My pick is Bryan Cranston for Greatest Thespian. So moving around the table, Johnny, what say you? What's your pick for the best of the best?
Well, I picked someone with a pretty diverse career from stage acting to television to film. Been involved in some related projects to some films he's co-produced. And he's been in a couple of movies recently that I know one will be up for an Oscar. Tom Hanks.
Okay. He's done an awful lot. He is a strong candidate. It would not surprise me if he was the winner of this one. Pretty damn good acting thus far from our first two. Chris,
I would, you know, I want to go last on that. But I want to just chime in on Tom Hanks.
Okay.
That's a great nomination. Mm-hmm. And it is also one where potentially we may see again in Most Versatile.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
Because he may end up being Most Versatile tenant.
That's true. And again, in a sense.
And these could end up being the same person. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
By definition, if you are the greatest thespian, should you not be most versatile?
Yeah.
Or it's in the discussion.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I guess for best thespian, you can be maybe more closely associated with one role or two roles, how good you played them, but versatility has to play a role in there somewhere, yeah. So that is definitely part of it. All right, we'll skip over you. Matt, what's your pick?
There's so many out there. It's too hard to pick this one, but just to make things easier, I'll probably just say Tom Hanks.
All right. I'm predicting he's going to do very well in this then with two nominations thus far. Anthony, what's yours?
Okay, I was hoping to go last. Thanks, Chris.
Morgan Freeman.
I was the one that picked Morgan Freeman in Most Versatile Actor. You know, after thinking at it, I've been sitting over here lucky to have my laptop. And the person I'm going to say for Best Thespian, you know, if you look, mostly every one of his films were nominated for something. He's won multi number of awards for lots of different things. And he could, you know, even for Most Versatile Actor, he would be in there too. Technicals.
Okay. All right.
Another great nomination.
By the way, what a bunch of misogynists we are on the verge of being here. Thespian can be actor or actress, and we are 4-for-4 on actors at this point. So, Chris, I put the burden on you of breaking our string of apparent misogyny.
Well, I don't know that I'm going to in my nomination, but there were some women I strongly considered.
Okay.
One being Charlize Theron.
Okay.
You know, you talk about, I mean, the number of movies that she's been in, strong performances, very strong performances. I'm not even sure how many times I've been actually nominated for an Academy Award. Or Golden Globe. The variety of types of movies also. Again, back to versatility.
Okay.
That she has been in, from, you know, playing Beautiful Bombshell to, you know, if you saw the movie Monster. There have been a wide variety that she's done, and she's very convincing in all those roles. Very talented.
Okay.
There's so many to go with. We've already heard Tom Hanks, Jack Nicholson. You can go back to and look at someone like, Paul Giamatti, who there are a lot of actors who tell you he's one of the best actors in terms of trade out there in the last 50 years. How about guys of stage and screen that have, you know, like Ben Kingsley, mm-hmm. who has had an amazing career, again, versatile, you know, won an Academy Award for playing Gandhi. If you ever saw Ben Kingsley in a movie called Sexy Beast,
mm-hmm.
He has played so many varieties of roles so amazingly. He's so talented. And, you know, let's break it down even more. You're thinking stage and screen, even though most people at this table will think of him instantly for one role. Patrick Stewart. Mm-hmm. He is an acclaimed actor of the theater. Classically trained, Shakespearean, on and on and on. A brilliant actor. You can get in, and then we can now really stop and go, now what about the guys that didn't get to use their voices? Charlie Chaplin. How he was able to communicate ideas and language
yeah.
with his face, with his gestures,
mm-hmm.
In an era where they, you know, is black and white and there wasn't sound, and there he had to find other ways to do it. And on top of that, he not only he wrote, directed, produced movies that were award-winning, that filled the theaters. Clearly a brilliant, brilliant guy and a real talent. There's so many that we could go with here. But I was originally going to nominate Ben Kingsley, but because of his far-ranging influence on film, especially early film, and having the very difficult task of acting age without color or sound or music backdrop, I'm going to go with Charlie Chaplin.
Okay.
Ben Kingsley, I could make the argument all day and all night for you for Ben Kingsley. I could make this argument up and down for Charlize. I can make the argument for Patrick Stewart. I can make the argument for Tom Hanks. I can make, but we've got to come up with a nominee, and I'm gonna throw out to all of you Charlie Chaplin. How many actors on our list could do what Charlie Chaplin did? Maybe they all could, but that to me, he is a type of the industry.
He is. By the way, when you were going
and he started off in vaudeville.
Right. When you were going through the older names, and, I have had, I'm not going to go out, I'm not going to exaggerate and say tremendous interest, but more of an interest than I used to in checking out stuff on TCM, AMC, some of the movies on there. Somebody who I have been impressed with, and particularly in their later years, how much they got to be a tabloid figure. I don't know that you necessarily, people kind of sleep on this. I would put Elizabeth Taylor on the list. What do you think about her as a choice? I think she was pretty good in a number of different roles.
She really was.
Yeah.
Cleopatra.
Yeah.
You talk about an icon.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Huge icon.
Yeah.
I
wonder if that obscures sometimes how good they were at the craft. You know, in the case of her, it might have gotten in the way a little.
I think they sometimes get obscured because they get sort of put in these roles. Like, she got put into all these glitzy roles.
Right.
That sort of took away her acting, if you will.
Right.
I think that's where, like, someone like Charlize was brilliant by doing mm-hmm. a role like Monster.
Right.
Because she showed everybody, I'm not just a pretty face.
Mm-hmm.
I can act
mm-hmm.
and do it convincingly.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. I think it detracts from her real talent,
yeah.
someone like Elizabeth Taylor, because of, the sort of glitzy, glamorous roles that she was always in.
Right.
Sometimes things that sparkle too much, can blind you.
Well, I'm thinking, in terms of the variety on this, what's the name of the one? Is it Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, I think? That's the one where she played, she even played, I think, a little older than she was in that one.
Mm-hmm.
But played as kind of a beat older, lady, a little over the hill maybe, and bitter, and just, again, really played it very strong. And
honestly, almost would have been happier had you broken this category down generationally.
Okay.
I actually was prepared to make that argument for you, that it is too long, too storied, and too broad to be able to, between stage and screen,
okay.
be able to say it's almost too much to put your finger on. To say to one person, you are the Zenith, you one person. Really? Such a diverse and long. It almost like I could make the argument, you know, someone from 60 years ago to now, I wonder who's the best of my generation, our generation, I think much everyone in this room, versus, say, you know, the Generation Y, who's the best actor. So it's...
Put somebody in, Abbott and Costello. Put them up against somebody like Will Smith. It's different entirely. Yep. What they had to do to entertain their mass is a lot different than what, say, a Will Smith, Jack Now, or whoever, Charlize Theron, has to fix the mass and make the mass happy. It's an entirely different ballgame.
Well, this is a very, very difficult field. I guess for this one, I guess we would rank them 4-1 since we have two of the same ones that have been nominated. And again, I think this is going to be a pretty hemmed up one, much like our previous one for Best Sandwich, which is probably the only point of comparison you could make between this category and that one. I'll start first on this. I'm going to stick on my pick, but I really see the wisdom of the other ones as well here. I'm going to stick with Bryan Cranston, 4 points. In the next two, it's so very, very difficult for me on this. I'm going to go 3 points for Tom Hanks, 2 for Charlie Chaplin. Nothing against Nicholson, but it's a tough field. Nicholson would do well against a lot of other people that could be nominated here. Any of these four are going to be very strong, but that's how I got it slotted, 4-1.
All right, I'll go next.
All right.
You know, I wasn't even thinking Charlie Chaplin. I mean, these are some of the things you just don't think when you get something. Like, you think of a movie you saw the other day, or, you know, somebody that
I could have nominated Robert Downey Jr.
So I'm
He's a brilliant actor.
I'm going to go with 4. I'm going to go with Charlie Chaplin. Okay. Simply because he had to make it. He had to work harder than any actor nowadays.
Yeah.
Just to make you smile or get his point across. Number 3, Jack Nicholson. Number 2, Tom Hanks. And 1, Bryan Cranston. Nothing against Bryan Cranston. Nothing against
It's a tough field. Yeah, it's a tough field.
It's a tough field.
Yeah. I mean, these are... These are four people that you could put in a vast variety of roles, which, again, probably points up the similarity between this and versatile actor. Hey, look, these are...
Rick, you started off your discussion about Bryan Cranston and mentioning Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
He could be in this list.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, you don't get to have the sir in front of your name unless you were pretty darn good.
And I used Anthony Hopkins essentially as an intellectual hostage for my case, since he wrote him a letter that was since leaked out onto the internet that said that Bryan Cranston's acting job on Breaking Bad was the greatest he had ever seen for the course of the series. I would argue, too, that it is a couple of different roles within the same show. Essentially, you have the character where he starts, the character where he ends up, some of the manifestations stations in between, so it's a little bit more than you would have for one actor for one series.
How about and I just keep running names because I love to just make you all think while you're doing this process. No, we didn't even get to, you know, just passed away, Peter O'Toole.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Lawrence of Arabia.
Okay.
You know, again, another someone else that, you know, we don't have enough nominations.
I don't know why I got the instinct. I was thinking, I don't know why I got the thought you were gonna say Lee Major. That's okay.
Oh,
Peter
wow,
O'Toole,
know,
works also.
Oh, sure.
You know, there's that. That was that hunch probably came out of nowhere. All right. Who's up next?
I'll go ahead and go.
Okay.
Again, it's just such a broad. There's so many talented actors and actresses out there. It's just way too hard to take this on.
Right.
But he made a really strong case for Charlie Chaplin, so I'm going to go 4 on Charlie Chaplin.
Okay.
I'm going to go 3 on Tom Hanks. I'm going to go 2 on Jack Nicholson, and I'm just going against Anthony Rickey. So.
Apparently, yes.
No, right. Nothing against Bryan Cranston or Rickey's picks.
All right.
I mean, even though Bryan Cranston did invent the giant skyscraper in How I Met Your Mother that looked like... Never mind.
He is outstanding. All right, Johnny, you got yours tally?
It's a great discussion. So we need to some things up and talk about stage actor, his long career. Ian Ellendy, I thought about Paul Gotti, classic stuff, and diverse, too. Really tough, but I think definitely worth revisiting to break into some different categories.
We can always slice it thinner, yeah, exactly.
But I had Hanks at 4, Charlie Chaplin 3, Nicholson 2, Cranston 1.
Okay.
Really, Cranston 1, just because I've seen his work in Seinfeld, not having a chance to enjoy Breaking Bad as of yet, but it's on my list. So, but again, definitely worth revisiting and recategorizing.
You're an anti-dentist.
Is it on your bucket list? A movie that Morgan Freeman was in, along with nominee Jack Nicholson. I'm just saying.
That's right.
Tie it all together.
Yep. Everything ties together in the FDH Lounge, as we always keep saying and proving. So, Chris, there you go. You are going to be the one who decides this in the end here.
I've thrown out so many names, and this was why it was so hard for me to come up with one nominee, and why I do encourage this category to be broken down further in the future into maybe categories of best from stage to screen actor or thespian.
Or just best from TV. Or
We did that in another category of TV to movie, and Tom Hanks won that category, and it was not purged.
He could be about to become a two-time Lounge inductee.
And so I think that that is one where, you know, that's an interesting one. I think that, so I had a really hard time, but I will stick with my first choice of Charlie Chaplin.
Okay.
Just to always, not always, but sometimes to be the historical perspective in these times.
I appreciate that.
I'll let him go Tom Hanks because he is a brilliant actor.
Yeah.
He really is. I will go three Jack Nicholson, and I will go Bryan Cranston last. And the only reason of these nominees that Bryan Cranston is last is that I don't think we've seen enough out of him other than the critical acclaim of Breaking Bad, meaning he's had an okay career on TV till Breaking Bad, and this is where it's really, this is his sort of coming out party.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a guy who's been around a long time, and we've never gotten to see this breadth and this width from him. And my hope is that we will see even more challenging roles other than, say, next summer's Godzilla,
mm-hmm.
Out of him in the future. And, you know, who knows? You know, 20, 30 years from now, this whole list may be headed by him. But right now, I don't think it is.
I think he's taking...
No, he's no Morgan Freeman.
Plays Mandela, he's not.
I don't see that happening.
Well, then I guess he's not going to be in our versatile actor.
He might be the clerk, but he won't going to be Mandela. But I will say that, or up here, both of them maybe. But I think he's taking that as a challenge. I think the fact that he's out playing LBJ on Broadway right now, I think he's taking that as a challenge.
I think the guy is talented.
Yeah.
I just think we haven't seen enough yet to be able to say, there's the guy that belongs in the pantheon.
Well, and he knows.
I think that's my argument.
He knows there's the skepticism right now. Not skepticism. I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth. It's not skepticism of, like, I want to see what else. He's taking that as a challenge is all I can tell you. I mean, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, the case will be even stronger because he could lay back on his laurels here, but he is proving right now that he's
clearly an outstanding actor.
Yeah, he's too competitive to basically.
But I'm not prepared to put him in the pantheon
yet.
He's
too competitive to just put it in the bank, in a sense. And, you know, he might not, he would probably not even vote for himself at this point. Sir Anthony Hopkins would vote for him, and I would vote for him, so I'm in good company there. But unfortunately,
well, we don't know that. Sir Anthony Hopkins said the best performance ever in his TV series from start to finish. That he said he didn't say this is the greatest acting job ever.
I don't know, we're kind of picking nits here.
Well, I am reiterating what the man said, not what you want, what your interpretation of what he said. He didn't say congratulations, sir. That was the greatest acting ever. He said in a series over the
I don't remember it seeing being qualified that way, but okay, maybe that part was just lost on my section.
All
of
right,
the
well,
internet.
Whatever.
But 8 points for Bryan Cranston, 10 points for Jack Nicholson, 15 points for, drum roll please, Tom Hanks, who does not at this point become a two-time inductee into the pantheon, although personal actor still looms. The winner in this category, 17 points, Charlie Chaplin, is our newest inductee into the FDH Lounge Pantheon, replacing Kevin Costner as the best thespian. There's a little bit of a range there.
And there is proof that there is justice in this world and that Kevin Costner was not renominated.
Well, draft day hasn't come out yet.
Did I vote for him because he's playing a Cleveland Browns executive?
Depends. Is he going to pick a good guy? Is he going to pick someone good in the movie?
Hey, as long as I get to vote for Dennis Leary for being best coach.
I will. If we'd done
I'm
this,
voting for the Fonz.
If we'd done this after the draft and he had picked Blake Bortles for the Browns, then I might vote for him for best actor of all time. But it is Charlie Chaplin. Now we move to best versatile actor of all time, replacing Morgan Freeman, who was purged with 7 out of 10 votes. And this is one, again, that this was hatched at a different time. This was in Pantheon 7 versus best actor was Pantheon 1. We've looked for different ways to kind of slice this. I guess the fact that they're both being purged and we're looking at them side by side admittedly shows you that I probably didn't stray far enough from the concept of the one in creating the other. You can probably do this subsequently generationally or by genre of acting or whatever. But yeah, admittedly, these are going to be very similar. But, you know, and having said that, and I already made the case for the versatility of Bryan Cranston, but I sort of feel like I should come up with somebody different for this one. I don't have a great amount of, at this point, optimism that this pick is going to go over that well, because this is a guy that I think a lot of people just kind of sleep on, and that may frankly be his fate today. But I'm a big fan of this guy, seen him in a lot of roles. Granted, one of my favorite movies is Snake Eyes, but no, sorry, Johnny, not going with Nick Cage, but I am going... I am going with Gary Sinise. I mean, I'm a big mark for Gary Sinise. That's a guy you can plop him down in any number of roles. Lieutenant Dan is one of them. But, you know, again, I think he's a guy that you can put in a lot of different roles and have him play a good guy, have him play a bad guy, have him play a, you know, kind of neutral guy or boring guy or whatever you want him to do. I feel like he can kind of fit the equation. I'm going to go with Gary Sinise. So,
well, I was a big fan of Lieutenant Dan. I like the way he moved around the room when he had no legs.
Lieutenant Dan. Tom Hanks.
Yes,
that's right. Boy, this one is talk about some different ways to go here. Thinking about some of the people previously mentioned, as well as some other folks. Sigourney Weaver comes to mind. Charlize Theron comes to mind. Jennifer Lawrence, Bradley Cooper, Christian Bale. Brainstorming here. Matthew McConaughey. Then, of course, Tom Hanks mentioned.
Past lounge guest Matthew Modine might have to be in there somewhere, too.
Yeah. Or not. Certainly.
Edit.
I have to tell you, I'll throw out one, you know, just I'm not going to nominate him, but, and I would have never said this until I saw him in that recent Behind the Candelabra, Michael Douglas as Liberace.
Okay.
I have to tell you, until you need to see that, it is, you will have a whole new appreciation for Michael Douglas's acting ability that you have never had before. At least I didn't have. And I walked away from that going, wow.
Okay. Oh.
Michael Douglas as Liberace. And let me tell you something. He nails it, drops mic, walks off stage. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
I can agree with Michael Douglas.
Okay.
He's had a lot of good movies.
He's got a lot of good movies, but, you know, he tends to play kind of the same, you know, cavalier sort of alpha male.
Maybe a little smarmy.
Yeah, smarmy alpha male kind of thing, whether it's The Game or it's Wall Street or, you know, what's the one with Sharon Stone?
Indecent Exposure was very good.
Yeah, that
that epitomizes what you're talking about. Him in Indecent Exposure is, if you were to drill down Michael Douglas's career, that's like his defining role. Not that he's best known for that, but that's like the mean of all of the roles he's ever been in.
Right, but it's not versatile.
Right, right.
But once you see him in Behind the Candelabra, you go, I didn't know he had such range.
Okay.
No idea.
Sometimes actors will surprise you like that.
And Matt Damon was disturbing in that movie as well, I have to tell you.
Yeah, Matt Damon, for the rep that he has, you know, I mean, that's one of those guys I think that
he has a lot of versatility.
But I mean, but let's face it, that's not his rep.
But it comes, rep aside, but that's where I also come down to why this should sometimes be broken down generationally.
Right.
Because, again, if you see Matt Damon in that same show, you go, well, first of all, you're, like, highly disturbed. But then, you know, you realize that's great acting if you're having that reaction.
I believe for a long time he's better than his rep. I could see that. I mean, there's a lot of... That would make it... I mean, this is supposed to celebrate excellence as opposed to, like, a backhanded compliment, but it would be interesting to do a better than their reputation one.
I think Brad Pitt falls to that.
Sure.
I think he's a brilliant actor. I don't think he gets near the credit.
He's very good, at least, yeah.
DiCaprio is a lot better actor than I think. I think sometimes he's now sort of almost like a showman, DiCaprio, and he's sort of larger-than-life roles he does now versus, like, you know, his original, like, Basketball Diaries.
See, but...
Let's
explore that because, like, I think of DiCaprio as being somebody who gets a boatload of credit for being a great actor. But it's a thing of, like, are you referring to, like, when you get to a certain point, you sort of get knocked off the thing of, like, he's not as great as that? Do you feel, are you putting over DiCaprio in the face of a perceived backlash of he's not as great as his reputation?
I'm talking about versatility.
Right.
I don't think that he's given enough credit for his versatility.
Okay. But, I mean, I feel like that opinion comes from a backlash. Of like, he's not this great actor who can do all this.
I think sometimes there can be that when someone's so popular and so famous,
right.
And, you know, and always gets the girl kind
right.
of, you know, lifestyle, that there is a certain people sort of, wow.
Right.
You know.
Well, I think Tom Cruise has suffered that a little.
Right.
He went from the place where he kind of had that Clark Gable thing for a while where, mm-hmm. you know, all the ladies wanted him and all mm-hmm. the guys wanted him as best friend. But mm-hmm. I think I don't want to say typecast it.
Okay.
He kind of playing the same kind of role. And I disagree. I think DiCaprio's kind of, and whether that's his own doing where he's partnered up with Scorsese for some of these films, but I think it's kind of the same. Showman is a really good word to describe him right now, I think.
I was really impressed.
Know. He's versatile, but.
My dad convinced me to see The Aviator, and I watched it. Did you see him in that?
Yes, he was brilliant.
Yeah,
he was really brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's an example of, again, but, you know, and Scorsese. I mean, Scorsese did The Aviator, didn't he?
I think so.
Yeah, and he did the, did he do Great Gatsby?
Right. Yeah, he did.
I thought he did.
Yeah.
Maybe he did.
It's hard to know because...
Sure. It's the it's Scorsese-like, the Great Gatsby was. It was very...
Remember Scorsese, in his guest appearance on Entourage, was going to be doing a Great Gatsby remake that he was going to be putting Vince in.
Oh,
so that's what we're not thinking of whether he did it or not. I couldn't tell you that.
But it was very Scorsese-like, the Great Gatsby.
Exactly.
Whether that was, you know... But you're right. That's the kind of role that DiCaprio's in now.
Yeah.
He's big, flashy, but he's
a
brilliant Aviator.
Right.
You go way back in time to his original movie of Basketball Diaries when he was a very young thespian. That was a brilliant performance.
Right.
I mean, I don't even know how old he was then. 17?
And before that, I think he was in What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Yep.
Even younger than that.
Yep.
He got some votes for best TV turn movie to star in. And I had to ask the question at the time, like, what was he on? But I guess he was on Growing Pains when he was just a kid.
He was the kid.
Yeah. I didn't even realize that.
I don't know that there was a lot of real acting, heavy lifting that involved that.
Exactly.
That's why I wouldn't have given him a vote on that.
But
that said, I'm sorry. I got in the middle of this whole thing, and I just wanted to throw all this out there to show you how divergent this can be.
Yes.
Well, and I think it speaks to rethinking this as a subcategory based on whether it's generationally or categories, maybe male, female.
Don't know.
With all that said, and I had a number of people out there was thinking about, I'm going to go back and renominate Tom Hanks, versatile actor, from the role in Philadelphia to the recent role in Captain Phillips.
Did you see him in Cloud Atlas? He plays like 9 different roles alone in Cloud Atlas.
Okay. I haven't. The one thing about him, and I'm asking the question, I'm not posing this as an accusation, but has he ever played it in the bones of the wrestling world here, like a full-on heel? Has he ever played like a real bad guy kind of a dude?
Well, in Cloud Atlas, he has this brief role of a sort of a London underworld thug.
Oh, okay. Well, even that is different enough.
He has
a
brief role as such.
Okay, okay.
As that. He's pretty good.
Okay.
But not
everybody's going to be Olivier at every aspect of it, but we're just not used to thinking of him that way.
He played a bit of a heavy in Captain Phillips, where he was, the guys on the ship are all union.
Mm-hmm.
He's the non-union guy, so there's a little bit of a rift there.
Okay.
Forrest Gump. I mean,
that
was not a hard or not an easy role to pull off the way he did.
Right.
I mean, sorry. I mean, you talk about versatility.
Or do a movie where he's basically the only actor in the movie.
Yeah. Sure.
Castaway. Yeah.
He had to gain all that weight, which actually ended up making him diabetic years later.
And I can't even think of the guy's name, but the guy who played Bubba in that movie subsequently has gone on to a great role playing Limehouse on Justified on TV. So if we're looking for more people to pluck from that movie there, so we're now 2 for 2. So I don't know if we're going to keep the theme going here in terms of this. Do you want to go next, Chris?
I can. No, it's okay.
That's okay, yeah.
I've mentioned so many people that I've thought about nominating. And again, Charlize Theron was one that I really was leaning towards nominating here. And again, I think this should probably be broken out. And we may want to, depending on how our winners end up, we might want to revisit these and break them down and take out and put male thespian and female thespian.
Okay.
We may want to do that in the future because I don't think we're giving enough credit to some of the ladies out there in terms of some of their performances and ability. Like Charlize. I'm going to go, and there's so many options. Again, I mentioned Robert Downey Jr.
Mm-hmm.
You think of, he's been in some big blockbuster things lately. But you look back in his career, things like Less Than Zero. You look at his ability in terms of his ability to pull off English, accents. Whether it's lately in Sherlock Holmes. I mean, Englishmen will say it's dead on.
Mm-hmm.
He's a brilliant actor and very versatile. Play a whole lot of roles. Brad Pitt even is versatile. I mean, I don't know if everybody's seen his role in Snatch. I mean, his pull off of like Irish gypsy lingo in that movie is amazing, and so he's versatile. But I'm gonna come back to versatility, and I'm gonna base it on stage and screen, and I'm gonna say Ben Kingsley, and I'm gonna say it because any guy who can get a Oscar play Gandhi and then can turn around, and if you haven't seen it, do yourself a favor, Netflix it, is he plays this brutal hitman in a movie called Sexy Beast. And any guy that can have those two ends of the spectrum and nail them, just nail them, and then everything in between, all the varying roles that I've seen, that's who I'm going to go with, Ben Kingsley, who is just an amazing, amazing thespian and has played so many roles in his career, from Shakespeare to Broadway to, it's amazing things.
He has done an awful lot. All right, so
he was great in Hugo as well. I've seen that.
Yes, yeah. Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, got a tough field thus far. Going to round it out with the Patrons here. So, Matthew, what do you got next?
It's such a hard field. Mm-hmm. I've been tossing around names like Johnny Depp. Mm-hmm. He's played pirates. He's played any number of different roles in different movies. But I think I'm going to actually just go with Michael Keaton.
Okay.
He's played Mr. Mom. He's played gangsters. He's played Batman. Many different roles for him as well.
Okay.
He's actually coming out in the robot.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, yeah. I haven't heard as much about what he's been doing lately. So. All right, Michael Keaton is Matt's nominee. And you, Anthony?
I've been around the spectrum, too. I've thrown out names like Val Kilmer, Robert De Niro, although he plays more the same type. He does do the serious and the funny, and, you know.
Val Kilmer was pretty great in Kill the Godfather.
There was many different names, but as many times I've run around this.
Steve Morrison.
Yeah.
Was brilliant performance.
As many times as I've run around this, I keep coming back to one name. And he's won Best Actor in a Drama, Best Actor in a Musical, Best Actor in a Comedy. If you're going to win those things, if you're going to win all of those things, you're a good actor. I got to go with Jack Nicholson again.
Okay. All right. Nicholson. All right. It comes time for...
Nice connection there to Michael Keaton from the Batman review.
Yeah. We got connections between a few of these ones here. Sinise and Hanks, Nicholson and Keaton.
I almost nominated Robert Downey Jr. because he played Chaplin.
Mm. Oh! Chaplin by association.
He did a brilliant performance in the movie Chaplin. I haven't seen that.
That would have been like the most surreal thing ever if we would have inducted Charlie Chaplin and then like the guy who played Charlie Chaplin, versatile actor. That would have been outstanding. This is very tough. One of the tougher ones yet. Again, I'm going to stick to my guns on my pick with Sinise and go with him for 5 points. Tom Hanks is going to be getting 4 points from me. I'm going to go with Ben Kingsley third. I feel like, again, that was a very, very strong one as well right there. And, again, it's strong top to bottom, but I'm going with Nicholson 2, Keaton 1. So there's my 5.
I'll go ahead and go next, and I just want to say, if none of you have noticed, it's funny watching Matt. Every time I'm looking on a computer, try to see who I'm going to say. I'm going to go ahead and go with my pick, Jack Nicholson at 5.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Ben Kingsley with my 4. Michael Keaton, 3. Tom Hanks, 2. And Gary Sinise.
All right. So there's Anthony's votes. Who else is ready to go? You want Matt? Okay.
Yeah, okay. I'll start at the bottom. But
okay.
Just because I don't know much of Ben Kingsley's acting, I'm going to say him as a 1.
Okay.
And I didn't pick Ricky this time.
Okay. Yeah, breaking your streak. All right.
Yes, I broke my streak. And
probably
I,
just barely.
I'm going to say, yes, just barely. Because Gary Sinise, I'm going to say 2.
All right.
I'm going to say Jack Nicholson, 3.
All right.
Michael Keaton, 4. And I'm going to go with Tom Hanks as 5.
All right. Really jammed up. It's going to come down to the last ballots here of John and Chris. Which of you guys is ready first?
You go ahead and pick. One of us will go.
Okay. Johnny, take it away.
I'll go starting at the bottom as well. I have Michael Keaton as my 1.
Okay.
Jack Nicholson, 2.
All right.
Gary Sinise, 3.
Okay.
I think it's tough right here because I love Ben Kingsley. Very diverse. I have him as 4 and Tom Hanks my 5.
Okay. Hanks is doing very well thus far, and looks like he's in the driver's seat here. I don't think Chris is going to bury him to the extent that he would probably need to.
I will not do that. I will not be intellectually dishonest. All right, last place, Gary Sinise.
Okay.
2, Michael Keaton. Then Jack Nicholson.
All right.
Then Tom Hanks and Ben.
Okay. All right. Going through here, we have. I'll start. Rather than take these in order, they may end up being in order. Michael Keaton. I know just from looking at this, didn't win it for. 11 points for him. I don't know if that's last place. Sinise, 12.
Okay.
And Jack Nicholson with 15. Here's where it gets competitive between the two. And very close here. I need to re-add this, but.
You know, just to hear the nominees on this, it was a good category. And all the names that didn't get put up there that could have been right along with any of these
guys. Got a dozen I could have put up.
Right.
I think I've thrown all those names out, too.
Right.
It's so hard on something like this to pick one.
And you know what? I'm glad.
And I would love to see us break these categories down between men and women, best from stage to screen, on and on and on. We could break these down in a lot of different ways.
I mean, even if it's just generation.
And generation. Yeah. Why can't I say that word today? I am so... I'm tongue-tied on that word.
Better get that straight before you hit the old campaign trail there.
Generationally.
Yes. Yeah. We don't need anybody giving anybody reasons to vote against you here. I would vote for the man, but he can't even pronounce a word like generation. We've got And I'm glad I re-added this, because I was initially thinking that the guy who was in second place was in first place, and I added him wrong. In second place here, 17 points, Ben Kingsley, 20 points for our winner, Tom Hanks, who becomes one of the very rare two-time inductees into the FBH Lounge Pantheon. He supplants Morgan Freeman as the most versatile actor, and we look at the other the other two-time inductees into the lounge, Michael Jordan is in as the best clutch player in any sport and the best hoops player, so he is in there as well. John Madden for best color commentator and best sports video game.
I think that honor Tom Hanks is totally
yeah.
The breadth of his career and the versatility, bosom buddies on the way on up,
you've got
speaks for itself.
Babe Ruth as best baseball player and best baseball hitter, if we nominate it, if we go just that way, because we did those separately. And perhaps most decorated, Ric Flair for best pro wrestler and best pro wrestler on the microphone. That is the company that Tom Hanks joins, the rarefied air of two-time FDH Lounge inductees in for best versatile actor. So in this segment alone, we have crowned him for best versatile actor, Tom Hanks, and we have additionally crowned Charlie Chaplin for the best actor or actress overall. Congratulations to both.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.